Knife Present Doghouse's episode 13. Man, what a week. This is the dad. This is like the dad. You know, you feel like an old dad, man. Playing birthday party last weekend, man. And, you know, I just feel like I've been hitting the road ever since, trying to clock in these hours, man. I got one of them jobs now where it's from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you close your eyes. Work, work, work. And trying to find that balance, man. That's trying to keep the kids happy. You know, my new four-year-old, he's just, oh, man. So y'all forgive the tardiness of this episode. We try to drop on Tuesday/Wednesday, but this will drop on Friday. Well, we had to do it, man, because I just counted the questions, man. We got a hefty bit, but y'all got anything y'all want to talk about before we get into the questions, man? Anything y'all learned this last week and a half?
I'm gonna go there.
I think Gov's got something to say.
Yeah, Gov gave us a little preamble. Is that the word?
Gov was coming in hot this week.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's an extension of our last episode about you know, parenting in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so, you know, Falcons game, stadium full of folks.
Yeah,
and you know, I take my two boys. They're excited. 11-7. Mm-hmm. 7-year-old can't sit still. You know, we're at Falcons game. First time in the stadium, huh?
Yeah, he shouldn't.
He's 7. Come on now.
So, anyways, you know, we're sitting down, we're in our seats, and that's gonna come back in a minute. but you know, apparently my child had kicked the seat in front of him. So, you know, I didn't see it at first, you know, it wasn't a big deal, you know, because it really was a small motion, didn't see it. And it wasn't like he was forcefully kicking it, it was just kind of
irritating, rhythmic
kind of energy, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of doing this little nervous energy thing. So I just happen, you know, I'm watching the game, so I'm really not looking at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But finally, I kind of look over, and I see him kick the seat, so I kind of reach over and touch his head, leg. Yeah. And as I do this, the gentleman in front of him that was sitting in the seat, if I had to guess, this gentleman had to be mid-50s, early 60s. But he turns around and goes, "Would you please stop?" To a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
So at this point, sir, I'm sorry he did this.
Yeah.
However, address me as his father. I'm right here because clearly he didn't come to the game by himself.
Yeah.
Doesn't say a word. So, you know, we're just, you know, game goes on. I'm kind of watching him, making sure he doesn't do any more kicking.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then some more folks come down because the row's not full. I look down again and this joker slides over because he is sitting in their seat.
Oh.
So he wasn't even sitting in his seat that he bought.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, of course I had something else to say. And so this all happens right before halftime. So at halftime he gets up with his grandchild.
Yeah.
Because he's probably about 5 or 6, you know, so he's about in that same age bracket.
Yeah.
He gets up and leaves, and I just say, "Sir, next time you want to correct somebody's child, make sure you have decency to sit in the right seat." He walks off in a huff. And I'm just like, come on, man, because now I'm pissed because you don't say a word to my child without saying anything to me, because clearly, who are you to talk to my child?
Yeah.
And if you do, like, it's a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, hey, buddy, like you don't talk to him like an adult. Like, I could see being like, hey, man, could you keep an eye over, you know, or maybe say, hey, dad, you know, like something, but don't talk to him like he's a little adult. Like, come on, like.
And I think that's what pissed me off the most, and I probably shouldn't say that, but it did. I'm still kind of hot, but I've had a couple of days to cool off. But I think that's what made me upset the most. Mm-hmm. Was that how he talked to him? Like, there's no, I mean, not saying that as an adult you got to give respect or anything like that to kids. I mean, I get that, but you know, you talking to him like he on your own blood. No, sir, we're not doing that. Yeah. And it was so, like, I was so mad did I text my sister? My sister and her and my brother-in-law, they have season tickets. Mm. But I texted her and I just said, hey, just let you know, look up here at this section. Because we were like two sections over from them. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, look up here in this section. If you see a fight break out, get my keys. Meet me at the police station.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably about to get locked up.
Bless these folks. Think they can say anything they want to anybody.
And that's the thing that kind of, guess what got me? It's just like, you don't know squat about me or my kids, and you just going to talk to him like he's some riffraff?
I would at least, like, you know, maybe like look back there one time. Kind of, you know, like, don't even say anything. Just be like, you know, you never know what it is back there.
Yeah.
You know, most parents in that situation will realize why you're looking back and be like, oh, you know, my kids, you know, and it's, we're all good. Everybody's, but like, just don't. Like, you can't be correcting people's kids like that.
Right. So, yeah, that was my experience, my fatherly experience of the week.
I had a similar situation at the Falcons game, but it wasn't. I was in a bad mood because we were losing, I'm sure.
Well, I don't think that helped either.
Yeah, this wasn't. I didn't go to last week's game. I gave those tickets away, which I'm glad.
I wish I hadn't bought mine.
Yeah, I'm glad I gave them away. Anyways, it was something on, you know, they like all the little halftime and timeout little videos on the screen and stuff where the kids mm-hmm. kind of interact. It was something on the screen, and it was we're always surrounded by the other team's fans. I don't know. I might have the worst season tickets in the whole stadium. Huh. I mean, the Falcons game is always already like 50-50. But right. The guy turns around and Drew said something. And the guy turned around like, yeah, I bet he wish he had a better team to root for. And I'm like, listen.
Come on, man.
It wasn't like playful. It was like the spirit he turned around with. So I give
him aggressive.
Like, you know, us as the Papa Bears, like, listen. Address me or don't address nothing, you know.
That part.
I get what you're saying, man.
That part. So, yeah, that was what a way to kick off this week.
Protect the babies, man. That's what it's about. Protect the babies.
What's up?
You know, beer gets involved too. That's, you know, they get
a little
loose out there in the Falcons games, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Q&A episode, man. It's our favorite episodes.
Absolutely.
We got some good questions.
All right, we're going to finish. Last week, I left off with Sasquatch gave us one about the toy. And he sent in two questions. So I'm going to read the second one now.
Okay.
By the way, I tried to send a picture. It's funny. Facebook is so funny because it pulled up a picture of the Ninja Turtles, like Turtle Blimp, Turtle Van, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I had all of that.
Shout out to Bebop and Rocksteady, bro.
Always.
I used to have Bebop and Rocksteady. All right, this is from Sasquatch. Who is your favorite TV mom?
Ooh. Hmm.
Oh.
I go straight to Claire Huxtable, but
she was the prototype.
She was pretty amazing. She was pretty amazing though.
She was the prototype.
Yeah, she was pretty amazing. Like, watching the old episodes, like, man, she's a classic character. Who else? Harriet Winslow, of course. Obviously, Aunt Viv.
The original Aunt Viv.
Yeah, the original Aunt Viv, not the...
And the original Harriet.
Well, Harriet only left the last season of the... It wasn't like Harriet. I mean, it wasn't like Vivian. That was a complete split, like 50-50.
Well, I think the new Viv was on like two seasons. It wasn't that long.
I thought it was 50-50 split. Yeah, Vivian left like after the first three episodes of the last season. Urkel got on her nerves, so. As he did.
I don't know. TV mom.
You got Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
I'm never a Brady Bunch person. I'm trying to think.
Me either. Take your wife.
That's a really good one. Worst TV mom probably goes to Peg Bundy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The worst TV mom probably got to go to, what's the homegirl's name on Breaking Bad? Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no, I was never a Breaking Bad guy.
What?
I know.
What are you talking about, YBA? No Breaking
I
Bad.
Never,
no Brady Bunch.
Sorry. No.
You hate shows with two
people
in the name.
I'm gonna come out of left field with a favorite show of mine, even though it's an animated show, Peggy Hill, King of the Hill.
Ooh, I never watched that, man.
King of the Hill is as good as it gets.
Peggy was kind of level headed.
Yeah.
What about Mama's Family?
Did I watch a ton of Mama's Family?
She was a legend. What about Wheezy Jefferson?
But
I'm just talking at this point, bro.
Now that I'm thinking of it, I never realized that the TV was seemed to be so much better at making quality dads. Not that the moms are bad, but
now that you're sitting here actually trying to think through it.
Yeah, they don't stand out like
all the. Right, here's a couple more. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Corey Matthews' mom, Boy Meets World.
Oh yeah, no, there's one.
Can't even picture him.
Suzanne Somers and Step by Step.
Oh, Step by Step.
Yeah,
TGIF. My mind went to TGIF. I was like, okay. I don't know if I got a favorite though.
I was thinking about This Is Us, but.
That's one series I haven't actually watched.
Ooh,
that's
did
why,
y'all?
That's why y'all can't speak on the dad. That's why y'all can't speak on the dad.
Y'all,
greatest.
Did y'all watch Friday Night Lights? We all Friday Night Light guys.
Negative.
Listen, Jamie I'll Taylor, tell you, I Coach, just started watching TV again for the first time.
Man, Coach Taylor's wife, Tammy Taylor, she was the best.
So, what's our answer? Number one. Who's our number one? I'm going to go Claire Huxtable, man.
I'm going to go with Claire.
Yeah, I go Claire Huxtable
because I think Claire is the prototype.
Yeah.
I mean, because they, her and Aunt Viv both were moms, but strong and,
She's a lawyer too, though. Like Aunt Viv,
and that's that part. You know, it's the fact that she was a mom, but she also was in a very demanding career.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got to be number one. All right. The next one is from Stephanie.
Oh, one more TV mom.
What you got?
Mama Payne.
Who?
Mama Payne.
Mama Payne on House of Payne?
No, Martin.
Oh.
Oh gosh.
You gotta relax.
I was like, wow.
She's a terrible mother. She's a terrible
mother. Mama Biscuits.
That's all she did was make biscuits. They killed her bird.
You killed a bird.
Stephanie asked, my husband has pitched a fit because I got my daughter's ears pierced. He says he days she she meant to say he says she should be 16 before wearing earrings. What are your thoughts? I don't have any thoughts. I don't have a.
I think
you have girls.
There are very few things I would pitch a fit over. Earrings are not one of those things. Like I get it, some dads want that, but
as long as they have a belly button ring.
My daughter got we look. My baby, she got her ears pierced at 6 months.
Yeah, I thought girls got their ears pierced young.
Ella just got hers. It was her. I think it was her 10th birthday.
Yeah.
So we waited until then, but I was never like, oh man.
I'm gonna be honest. I think this is more of a cultural question because I'll say this: I think a lot of parents in the Black communities let their kids get their ears pierced early.
Yeah, I know freaking
boys and girls.
I know 3-year-old boys with ears pierced, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I never had mine pierced, but you know.
I mean, had Ella, I don't know. I mean, I let Lisa decide on that. Had she asked me earlier, I don't think I would have cared. I don't think I would have like.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like she didn't let her husband know, which I mean, I guess that's probably why he's upset, but
if she didn't have a conversation with him, that's one thing.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
He ain't got no choice.
But even then, I can't imagine that's something. I mean, it's an ear pierce. It's not. We're not talking nose or belly button. Like, we're talking about an ear piercing. That's just not something I would get mad about.
And
period.
And how old's the girl again?
Hold on. I just
deleted. What did she say?
I just deleted. Hold on. Nope. She just said that. He says she should be 16. before wearing earrings. Hey man, that's his prerogative, man. But you know, you done it. You can't re-unpierce them. So
that part,
I don't understand the age part. Like, are earrings some sort of like?
Who knows how the guy grew up, man? You know,
adults like thing. Like Ella wears like panda bears and T Rexes on her earrings all the time. Like,
I'm not mad at the guy. I mean, you do what you want with your kids, man. But you know,
yeah,
if it's done and you got pitched in the fit, you're not going to change the thing. So I mean,
communicate
communicate.
You take the earrings out, let it grow back in. I'm out. I don't know why. Yeah, there are worse things. There are worse things to get mad about.
Yeah, he'll get over it. Give him time.
Tell him we said he needs to take it down a notch.
Yeah.
All right, this one's from Greta. Are you a cuddler? No. Next question.
Right, no.
Are y'all cuddlers? It was my wife must have sent this in. She know the answer.
No, because I laugh because me and Tiffany actually talked about this not too long ago. But she goes, you know, when we were younger and fun, you know, and it was all brand new, it was kind of cute. And now we're both like, man, get out of the way, we're trying to sleep.
Yeah, get off my side of bed. Every now and then Ella will come get into bed with me and she'll cuddle up next to me. But that's about it. Like Lisa, I'm like, I'm just trying to stretch out in the bed.
Yeah.
Gus, quit kicking me.
I told my wife for my 40th next year, all I want is a Tempur-Pedic, man.
I don't want change your life though.
I don't want no trip. I just want a Tempur-Pedic for my 40th, man.
Tempur-Pedic.
I'm simple, man.
Yeah, I didn't realize how expensive mattresses had gotten until we just bought one earlier this year.
Yeah, that's wild.
Hey man. Jesus. I got a guy. Holler at your boy. Back of the truck. No questions asked, bro.
I'll be good for about five or six more good years.
I got a guy who can sell anything you need. Just holler at me, man. Back of the truck. I'm sorry.
Hey, I hustle, man.
Hustle, man. All right.
If you want it, I got it. If I ain't got it, I'll get it. So get it while I get it.
Yeah, he'll get it. Yeah, tell him what you want. Yeah, anything you want. I got so much spam in this freaking email. We love our wives. All right, that's our. All right, he must have put the email address in the same field as the email. So no name here. You should do Will Smith's autobiography for your book club. Huh.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I do need to do
it. Because then we'd almost have to read Jada's, and I really don't want to read that.
I'm not reading
Jada's. Does she have one too?
Oh, that's the whole reason why all this is starting to resurface.
Oh, that's right. That's right. This all came out because her book came out. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why she's doing a little press run.
I was telling somebody the other day, I read, y'all know, I'm a reader. I read a lot of books. I don't know if I've ever read a celebrity memoir before.
I don't think I care.
Yeah.
I might have it. I think I might have bought it from our girl at Onyx. I used to go in there and just buy crap just to buy crap. I did that too.
Yeah.
Never read anything. Yeah. I got a thing full of books that I never even touched. I have it. I'm going to read the first chapter.
And I'm trying to think of.
We'll determine.
I don't think I've ever read like an actual celebrity biography. I've read some biographies, but I don't think I've ever read of like just like a.
You say you read Gucci Mane. They didn't get more celebrity than that.
Oh, I did read. That's right. That's because he's from Alabama. And,
yeah. I read Steve Jobs' biography. I love that one. I'm trying to think who else I've read. I don't do as much reading as you guys do.
Sir?
Obviously Jay-Z's book I read. Well, he didn't write it.
I did.
So yeah, I'll look into it, anonymous person.
I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying I'd have to prepare myself to read something.
I think that's what it is because I got to be in that mindset.
I'm kind of curious to read it now that, you know, all the stuff is coming out about his makeup, and it's not a bad idea. I'll read the first chapter and kind of determine. I'll look at the chapter titles and see. I don't want to hear about him getting, you know, Fresh Prince roles and all that crap. I want to hear more about the parenting and because his kids are a little eclectic.
That is true. So that would be a different perspective.
Yeah, I'll look at I'll see if I have it first, and then I'll make some
determinations. They're an interesting bunch.
All right,
they're an odd bunch.
This next one is from Alvin Simon Theodore.
The Chipmunks.
Ain't that the Chipmunks? Yeah.
Yeah, the Chipmunks.
That's cute. Two questions. Governor. Okay, Gov.
Gov?
Governor, what is your ultimate career goal with your doctorate? We just talked about that, Gov. What is your
I had a suggestion for you. We did talk about it off air, didn't we?
What is your ultimate career goal with your doctorate? And what are your thoughts on CRT? What's CRT?
That's critical race theory.
Critical race theory.
Oh, God.
Well.
So, floor is yours, Gov.
All right. So, ultimate career goal. Short term, I'd like to be a principal. I don't think that's a secret to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
After that, wherever the wind takes me. I do feel like I probably have a lot to lend, but you know, you can't change or make an impact if you don't have a seat at the table. So that's why I got the doctorate, so I can have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So that's that. So critical race theory. And the reason I know about this is because I almost used this as my framework for my dissertation. But in a nutshell, what critical race theory simply says is you can't negate the perspective of other people. Mm. Now, it's centered in, you know, typically speaking, when you hear CRT, it's centered around, you know, the main race that it's centered in is the Black perspective. And so this stems from, you know, when you read things about slavery and so you read all these books, you know, go back into the 1800s about slaves and what happened, but you don't really hear a bunch of stories told from the slave perspective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, or the perspective of a minority, or whoever's oppressed at that point in time. So that's what critical race theory is all about.
Mm.
So the reason the whole thing is, to me, is dumb in terms of why it's so politicized now. Because all it is again, consider this perspective. That's literally what it means. And again, it's a little bit more intricate than that, but that's the watered down version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach, you jump in at any time if you hear anything that's wrong.
Well, I was letting you kind of jump in there first, and I'll you know.
But no, so that's my take on it. And you know, all these politicians are saying, well, you know, we can't teach history based on this, based on that, because if you really want to dive into it, we can. Because if you start looking at the perspective of how textbooks are written and things of that nature, they're only really written with one lens and one view.
Mm.
So CRT kind of goes, okay, well, consider this. And folks are, for whatever reason, are afraid for that consideration. Mm-hmm. I won't go any further into that because I want to protect anything that I need to protect professionally. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, you know, it's hard for me to tell my story without considering my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And CRT is just a framework to allow for that story to come out.
Yeah, that's a deep question. I don't like all this deep.
You mean jump in real quick?
Go for it.
I love something. Yeah. So, you know, for starters, there's not really a whole lot of what you call critical race theory going on in schools.
No, it's not built.
If they're talking about race in schools, yeah. And the problem is that critical race theory has become the dog whistle for people fighting a culture war that whenever you talk about it and it makes them feel uncomfortable, they start crying critical race theory. Now, I do want you to notice, Matt, and I was just doing this while you were talking. I was just getting on the computer. And you can do this at home, you guys listening. Go look up critical race theory in the news, and you will not find that many news articles in the past 6 to 8 months talking about critical race theory. And you wonder why that's gone away in the news. It's because it was election season. The reason critical race theory was in the news so much is that people were using it as a crutch to get elected. I'm just giving you that, the history, political science perspective of that. That's why when I looked up critical race theory now, there wasn't a substantial news article talking about it going on anywhere. But just because you talk about race in the classroom doesn't mean, you know, you are invoking critical race theory. There's things that because of the way our curriculums were made over the years. This is, again, this is me. I'm a U.S. history teacher. I've been doing it for 17 years. You know, for a year, you didn't talk about things like the Stono Rebellion. You didn't talk about things like the Greenwood Massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that kind of stuff. But you know, we're getting to a point where that stuff's getting uncovered. We're talking about it. And that, you know, the problem is that changes the dynamic of the conversation we're having. And people don't like that because they've had the same static view of American history for a long time.
Yep.
And the problem with that view is that it hasn't been informed by everything that's happened. So
that's what,
you know, now that we're having
a lot of stuff I've learned happened outside of school.
Yeah.
When it comes to those kind of topics.
Sure. It does, because again, think about, and that's what I meant by I need to have a seat at the table if I want to really influence change. Mm-hmm. Because think about who makes decisions regarding education. Is it teachers? No. It's politicians. Education is a field driven by politicians, yet there's not a single education expert that's ever consulted about what decisions to make and why they need to make them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was such, and again, that's why it's such a hotbed topic, because it's, in a sense, it truthfully, it kind of cripples. Because even if you think about who wrote the books and why, how they wrote the books, and Zach will tell you the same thing. Again, it's one perspective kind of a story. And so that's all the CRT is. It's the framework to allow for those stories to come out, to be evoked. So that's why, like, if you look at higher ed and look at, you know, true academia, a lot of dissertations are use CRT to tell as a perspective to tell the stories, because again, we see things that happen, but then what does it look like from this viewpoint? And that framework helps to ease that. So if you really want to read about what critical race theory is, I would go look up, I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Delgado. Critical race theory and Delgado. He's more or less the father of the theory. And ironically enough, he's a white man. So go figure. So, you know, again, just go, don't let the media influence what you think. Go do your own research.
That's it. Let's do one more, get y'all out of here, man. I know got missions to accomplish. The last one is from Tom. The pod is called Diapers and Doghouses. Do any of you have pets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have my dog anymore, and I can't get another one until I get a fence around my house. So, what pets? I didn't know y'all had pets. What y'all got?
Oh, I don't have stuff that leaves mess. My pets keep stuff in contained areas. So we've got a turtle, and a fish.
What's their names?
The fish, we don't really have a name for the fish. The only reason we have the fish is because we bought a new 55 gallon tank for the turtle.
Mm.
And the lady was like, well, I got this fish and I don't want to kill it. So I dug up my old 10 gallon tank and put the fish in the 10 gallon tank. So we don't know what the fish's name is.
Oh, okay.
But the turtle, ironically enough, his name is Michael.
Mm. Michelangelo?
There you go.
There you go.
So yes, the Ninja Turtle thing did rub off on my oldest just a little bit.
Cowabunga. All right, what you got, YBA? You got what y'all got?
Yeah, we got a I got a dog, Jack. He I kind of inherited him from my mom, but he's been in our family for a long time. He's probably pushing 16, 17. He's blind, he's deaf.
Oh wow.
Oh man.
He's all right though. He's still puttering around. He still barks. I mean, he can see a little bit. And then we have two cats, Agnes and Luna. they like to sleep. Right on top of my chest. If I let them, then I wake up and try to shove them off. But we've always had pets. We're always had at least a dog and maybe one or two cats. We were always pet people growing up.
I need to do an episode with the lady at the pound, the rescues.
I'll say that, like, go rescue some animals. Don't be spending all these hundreds of dollars on.
Thousands of dollars. These folks out here spending big money.
Man, we got Jack out of the PetSmart pound or whatever pound. We got Jack from the pound. And
yeah.
We've had him almost 17 years. He's done just fine.
Yeah. Man, rest in peace to Buddy, man. That's all I got to say about that, bro. Rest in peace to Buddy, man.
Yeah, Tiffany wanted a teacup Yorkie, and I went, nope.
Nope.
How much they talking about?
At the time, I think she said 1200 or 1300, but that was like That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, good Lord, that's a vacation right there.
So and then she, it was 3 years ago because now she goes, well, I want either a dog or I need a daughter.
Well, you got
you see where we're at, right?
You want to do one more?
Yeah, look, we can go one more.
All right, let's do one more. This one's from Martin. Nope, that's too deep.
Go to what?
The next one. They're too deep. I don't want to spend it for an hour.
All right, save it for next week.
This was too deep, sort of too, from Kimmy O. When was the last time you cried? Okay, let's figure out which one you want to answer. This one, when was the last time you cried, from Kimmy O, or from Martin? What's something that would cause automatic divorce in your marriage?
Oh, yeah. God.
Let's do the cry one. Sir.
Last time I cried.
I'll take Kimmy's.
When my grandma died, I cried. I didn't really get a chance to cry too good. Dang daddy just taking up all my grief. I knew when I cried last. I was listening to a freaking song. It's so pathetic. What song was that? I got so sad, bro. It was Sade. It was something about pearls. The song is about a girl in Somalia who's like has nothing.
What?
Like the girl in Somalia, it's a story she sung about a girl in Somalia, and like she has nothing, like, you know, and it was sad as crap. I can't remember exactly what the song was about, bro, but I think it was called Pearls or something. And she was like, and it was like the most beautiful freaking violins you could think of, man, and like. I don't know, the emotions, man, it got on me, man. I started crying like a little. I wasn't crying, I wasn't sobbing, but like, man,
your eyes well.
I got a little tear in your eye.
It was more than tear, it was a few of them, man, but I wasn't like boo hooing. But man, I was like, dang, I was just thankful, I guess, man, just like, man, you know, thinking about people that really ain't got. I mean, we complain about the dumbest little things out here, man, but. Y'all talk about what y'all got. I'm going to look up the lyrics right quick. What y'all got right quick?
All right. So this is going to sound really weird, but lately I have started doing a devotion to in the truck on my drive to work
because
I got 45 minutes. And so I didn't realize how intense just a true vulnerable conversation with God could be.
Mm.
And so... I definitely remember 2 days ago? might have been yesterday. I can't even remember now. You know, I was just sitting there kind of reflecting and thinking. And when I realized, and this is going to sound kind of self-serving, but just realizing how far I came through the doctoral journey. And I know it was yesterday because I ended up calling one of my classmates about it. And I told her, and I just said, you know, do you just have random outbursts of thankfulness and joy at what we've accomplished? And she says, yes. And I said, good, I'm not the only one.
It's such a huge feat, man.
And, you know, it kind of, so it's, I'm going to say this, getting this degree was, I think I learned more about myself than I did actual content. You know what I mean? And so just being thankful for everything that I overcame to finish it and then realizing, oh my God, this really was a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
So
I get proud of you, dude. You're gonna be governor one day.
But then here's the funny part about it. Right after I have those happy tears about the accomplishment, then I start thinking about the student loan and I start crying for real.
It's a different kind of cry.
Yeah, man. You'll get it off. Your boy Biden to get rid of it, man.
He ain't did it yet. I need this to go
now. Get out of here.
Well, yeah, you cried. Yeah, I know you crying, man.
Cried yesterday.
Crying about the Falcons, I know.
Cried yesterday. It was my dad's birthday, so.
Oh, man.
Was thinking about him, called my brother, was talking about him.
Yeah.
You know, we were at church last week.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, the things we learn and the fruits of the spirit and being generous and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't ever like to say anything because I ain't trying to talk about everybody talking about how all the good things they do. And I'm like, that ain't really my style. And Lisa decides to get me all emotional. She starts talking about, you know, a lot of what she learned about being kind to people and reaching out and that kind of radical love she learned from me. And that ultimately she knows that I learned that from my parents. And I'll tell you, Jesus, obviously Jesus comes in. That's train up a child and the way they'll go. But, my dad was such a, my dad was flawed, man. He had a radical love for folks, man. I can't imagine, man, but I can imagine, bro. Wasn't a soul in his mind that was unworthy of grace and love. And so he's
living through you, bro.
Would have been 67.
Oh, wow.
Man.
So, missing him.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Ron Ames.
Yeah, shout out,
man. Long live him, man. My one of my youth pastors when I was growing up in high school, Brother Jerry, man, his dad just died. He's a police officer in Newton County, and he was a pastor at one point. But yeah, his dad just died. I think yesterday or the day before, man. And yeah, to find them good strong men, man. It's hard to find them good solid strong men these days, bro.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully, we can make them proud. We can make them proud while they look down on us, man.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm hoping.
I found the Sade lyrics right quick. Yo, hold on, man.
Read them to us. We're
going to end it like this, man.
You trying to see Sade?
There's a woman. And dude, you got to imagine, you know Sade's voice is like angelic already. So you already ready. Mm-hmm. I can't do it justice. So there's a woman in Somalia scraping for pearls on the roadside. There's a force stronger than nature keeps her will alive. This is how she's dying. She's dying to survive. I don't know what she's made of. I would like to be that brave. She cries to the heaven above. There is a stone in my heart. She lives a life she didn't choose, and it hurts like brand new shoes. I don't know why. I just started crying, bro.
Look, I gotta keyed up now. As soon as we hit go, I'm cutting it on.
I'm like, man, you know, we're so fortunate, bro, to be where we are. I mean, we're on freaking Zoom. Like, some people ain't got no electricity, bro.
Yeah.
No water.
Look, I got two kids that rolled in from Ukraine this week, the Newton High School.
Yeah.
If you can imagine what them kids been through, like,
yeah, man.
That's a lot.
Just don't even know,
bro. Just be grateful, man. Could perspective.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we're gonna end on a sad note. Thanks a lot, Kimmy. Oh, you freaking
shit.
I'm blocking your questions.
Keep them coming.
You gotta change your name, Kimmy. Yo, because I see Kimmy. Yo, I'm straight deleting from now on, bro.
Tell Martin we'll get to him next week.
Yeah, Martin. Martin. I don't want to get angry before
the automatic. You're out. Well, I have to think long and hard about it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate y'all listening, man. We'll catch y'all next week.
Later, fellas.
All right,
see
man.
Y'all.
See you.